Challah per Gimel, Mishnah Vav 3:6. The last one of this topic here. This is a great Mishnah. We're talking here about a person who converts to being Jewish. So, as we established in the previous Mishnah, there's that moment of truth, Gilgul, and if it's owned, the dough is owned by a Jew, so then at the moment of Gilgul, it's obligated in the challah obligation, and if not, then it's exempt. So here are cases, a person who, let's say a non-Jew, owns some flour, gives it to someone to prepare a dough, and then the non-Jew converts becoming a Jew. And perhaps it could be not necessarily clear if the conversion happened before or after the kneading of the dough. If the conversion happened first, then of course it was Jewishly owned at the time of Gilgul and will be chayev. And if the conversion happened afterwards, then it'll be putter. And if you don't know, it'll be a suffix. How to deal with the suffix we'll talk about here in the Mishnah. And it says inside, Ger shniz gayer, if you have a convert who converted to being Jewish, v'haislo isa, and he had some dough. Naasis achlo nizgayer, if the dough was prepared, meaning the Gilgul, moment of truth, occurred prior to the conversion, then pater, because at the moment of truth, it was non-Jewishly owned. Umishnis gayer, if first the person converted and then his dough was kneaded, Gilgul, then chayev, because at the moment of truth, it was owned by a Jewish convert, and therefore obligated in challah. Vim safek, and if you're not sure, I mean, we don't know what happened first, the conversion or the Gilgul, then chayev, you have to still take challah, misafek. This is because there's a challah is a iser, it's a forbidden substance, you can't eat it if you're not a kohen, and as midoraisa, so a safek iser certainly has to be machmiran, so you'll have to take out challah to make sure that there's no possibility of a non-kohen eating something forbidden to him. Now, while that's true from an iser point of view, meaning iser v'heter, I'll call it ritual law, for lack of a better term, it's obligated, you must take challah. But from a monetary side of things, usually if you recall back when it came to trumos, there was two components. There was, if you ate non-kohen ate a kohen's truma, you'd have to give him back his truma that you ate, and you'd actually have to even add an extra chomesh, 25% more. If you recall, that was doing two separate things. One is the Torah mandates that you reconstitute that truma, recreating it again, and that's part of that is to get a kapara, one gets atonement by recreating the truma that he ate, by taking nuchulin and making it truma. And second of all, there's a financial component. You ate something that didn't belong to you. You ate some Cohen's food. You have to pay him back what you ate, of course. So that's a monetary thing. So too over here, if you are not sure whether this dough has to have challah removed from it. So we're saying because of the suffix iser, maybe it's forbidden to eat. So of course you have to remove the challah. But since from a financial point of view, monetary law, the Cohen certainly has no claim on this dough because the burden of proof for the one who wants to make a financial claim rests upon the person trying to exact money out of the one who currently has it. So here, the non-Cohen, let's say, has the recent convert now has some challah in his hands. That's great. He'll have to give it to a Cohen because he can't eat it himself. But since economically he doesn't have to give it to the Kohen, just he can't eat it himself. So he's allowed to give it to the Kohen for a price. He can sell it to the Kohen for the prevailing prices of challah and truma, etc. And the Kohen will have to pay for it, because the challah, economically, is still an asset that the convert can keep or sell or make use of, just he can't eat it. So that's the case over here too. He'll have to remove the challah, but he could sell it to a Kohen, as opposed to just give it to a Kohen. And as for the usual chomesh that one has to add, if one inadvertently ate truma or challah as a non-Kohen, he has to not just give back the keren, the principal value, but also adding 25% to the chomesh. So that won't apply over here in the case of the safek challah, because there's two components. There's the economic issue of making the Kohen whole. That's not relevant over here, because as we said, you can sell it to him. There's the issue of the mandate of getting kapara, recreating this challah, which you have to do, even if you'd have to do that anyways, because the Torah requires, and that's part of your kapara. But to get atonement for someone who ate from this challah illegally as a non-Kohen. But the guy who ate it, so he will get his kapara from just reinstituting Karen. The chomesh, the extra 25%, is not ma'akev, it's not essential, meaning one's supposed to add 25% when he gives back challah that he ate. But if he doesn't, he still gets the kapara. So here, there's no obligation economically, because it's suffix, and he gets the kapara he needs by just doing the karen components, the principal value of what he ate. And therefore, if one eats this suffix challah, and he's not a Kohen, he'll have to replace it, but only the karen, and not the chomesh. And that's what the Mishnah says here. Vein chayavin aleha chomesh. He doesn't need to add the chomesh when he reinstitutes what he recompensates by recreating what he consumed illegally as the suffix challah. Now we're done with that series of Mishnayos discussing that moment of truth, and really that topic's over. The Mishnah now has one more point, which is really quite a curveball. It just throws it out there. Up to now, for the whole Masechta, we've been assuming that the moment of truth, when does the obligation of taking challah kick in? At Gilgal, when you mix the flour and water. Here we have Rabbi Kiva Shita. Rabbi Kiva says no, that's never been the relevant moment. He just rejects the entire idea of Gilgal being significant. For Rabbi Akiva, the moment when challah must be taken has nothing to do with the mixing of the flour and water. It has to do when the dough begins to turn into bread, which is when it starts to develop a crust. So Rabbi Akiva is arguing with all the previous Mishnayos, and he's saying the moment of truth, he agrees there's a moment of truth, and the questions about non-Jews and conversion and dimua, all that kind of stuff, are all questions, but the answer remains, it depends, was it obligated at the moment of truth or wasn't it? It's just that Rabbi Akiva has a different definition for the moment of truth. He says it's crusting, as opposed to a crusting of the dough in the oven, as opposed to mixing the flour and water together. So the halach is not like Rabbi Akiva, so this won't have that far-reaching ramifications, but certainly the Mishnayos will have to be reread according to Rabbi Akiva throughout. And here Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva omer, hakol, everything, meaning the obligation for challah taking, holech achar hakrima betanur. It all depends upon the developing of a crust while in the oven. That's Rabbi Akiva Shita, but again, the halacha does not follow him. The halacha is like all the previous Mishnayos, that the moment of truth, everything depends upon, is thoroughly kneading the flour and water together.